As the U.S. attempts to rebuild the political structure of Afghanistan and Iraq, many involved are realizing the difference between democracy and freedom. A fledgling democracy in a nation that is known only to totalitarianism can actually lose its freedoms through the ballot box by simply voting despots back into power. What are the values and concepts that form the foundation of real freedom? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subjects.
The United States is at war with Islamic terrorism in order to protect the nation's freedom. The quest for freedom is at the heart of the American experiment. Just what is freedom? I mean, does freedom mean that a person can say or do whatever he or she pleases without concern for consequences to others? In the midst of World War II, as the Allies fought to save the light of freedom from being extinguished by fascism, poet Carl Sandburg wrote, "Freedom is cheap." Or again, as a garment is so costly, men pay their lives rather than not have it. Freedom is baffling. Men having it often know not that they have it till it is gone. Thoreau wrote, "What other liberty is there worth having if we have not freedom and peace in our minds, if our inmost and most private man is but a sour and turbid pool?" How much real freedom do you have in your life? I mean, freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear. Jesus Christ said, "The truth shall set you free." But what truth can set us free? Well, we're joined today on a telephone hookup from Phoenix, Arizona, with Pastor John Elliott. John, welcome to Good News Radio.
Thank you very much, Gary. Good to talk with you again.
You know, in the United States, we experience really a unique freedom, and I think sometimes we take that for granted here in this country.
We sure do.
Is it possible to experience really total freedom?
Total freedom?
Total freedom.
Well, total human freedom is really an illusion. It's a myth. And it really begs the question, free from what? I mean, release from the laws of physics? I mean, do we want that kind of freedom? Well, if so, all the atoms would fly apart. We would fly apart. Do we want freedom from gravity? Obviously not, or we'd all be floating around. Chaos would result if there were, you know, no laws, nothing holding us on a certain path. And so we might say, okay, well, we don't want freedom from physics, but we would like to have no responsibility, no restraints. We just want to receive. We'd like to be able to take. We'd like to be able to get. And the reality of such total freedom would actually be bondage for others. You might use, for example, the panhandler that often stands at the stop sign that we all pass, and he's got a sign there, and he wants something. He doesn't have a job. He's not restricted like those who are driving to work. It's kind of like the guy in the song that said, "I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me." Well, he's not really free, though. He doesn't have the restrictions that you and I do, but he's not free from want. He's not free from unfulfillment or from hunger or bad health. In fact, to me, he looks like he is bound or enslaved to things that you and I would consider to be undesirable.
You know, that brings us back to what Thoreau said. You know, we can have a freedom in an outward sense, but if our minds are in bondage, then we're in true bondage. So
that's exactly the case.
So, you know, if... are there ways that we can actually seek freedom, but in reality create a form of personal slavery?
Well, yes, I think any human-devised quest that we ourselves, who are self-centered, would come up with actually leads down a path of subjection, of conflict, of unfulfillment. And so I think humanity's concept of freedom, even yours and mine, would actually be a paradox. No, the Apostle Peter in the Bible explains that human freedom the opportunity or the freedom to do anything is really a form of slavery or a form of bondage. He said back in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh through lewdness." In other words, this thing that we all want for ourselves. In verse 19, "While they promise them liberty," this freedom we're talking about, "they themselves are slaves of corruption." And we can see this all around us. This is sort of the focus or the direction that many in the media have been pushing our country. And we see so much of this self-centered depravity being pushed at our youth and at our nation through music, through literature, through television, movies, almost in every direction. I go over to Africa quite often to serve some churches over in East Africa. And this came home very clearly to me when I was sitting in a cafe and there was a color television, which is rare in Tanzania. And some of the people locally were sitting around watching this television. It was American sitcoms and bump and grind music videos. And I was quite ashamed of what was on TV. And as they were looking, one man turned to me and kind of reflectively said, "Our people are not like them." But the sad thing is their children are becoming like them. The media example, the media role model is being pushed all over the world towards this sort of free-spirited form of bondage. And it's very, very sad.
Almost makes you a little bit ashamed to be an American.
Well, it does. And I sense that some of the hard feelings that American or that are aimed at Americans result from some of these intrusions into cultures that have values and have standards.
We're almost up against a break, but maybe you could just take a short period here and maybe give us a definition of freedom. At least that could launch what we talk about in the next segment here.
Well, I think there are five different dimensions of freedom. One is political, which is really a big reason why this country was founded. Another is intellectual freedom, economic freedom, psychological freedom, and spiritual freedom. And each of those freedoms, I think, would be defined differently and have certain consequences that might differ. At a university, for instance, freedom might mean the right to think as you like or ask what questions you want, seek answers without obstruction. In American politics, it might mean the freedom to choose the leaders you want, get rid of them if you want. Then there are other aspects of freedom that would have more dire consequences if we tried to go there.
Okay. Would less taxes or a smaller federal government or complete financial security really make you free? We're going to talk about those important subjects right after this.
Did God give us the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Commandments? It's a crucial question. Never has our world had such a critical need for moral guidance and direction. Plenty of people think of these ten principles as good suggestions, but how many people view these commands for what they are, our Creator's blueprint for a peaceful and prosperous society? They're designed to protect us, our families, and our communities. They're a guide to transform the way we think, what we do, and how we live our lives. For your free copy of this 80-page booklet, call 1-800-966-9232. Discover why they're the Ten Commandments and not just the Ten Suggestions. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232.
We're back on Good News Radio with Pastor John Elliott discussing the concept of freedom. John, you know, many people's concept of freedom is life without any kind of restrictions or laws or rules. Can freedom exist without laws? But, you know, at the same point, don't laws limit freedom?
Well, actually, that's sort of the dilemma I think that we as humans fall into. We don't want anybody limiting our opportunities, but others don't want us limiting their opportunities. And therefore, you have rules of opportunity, you might say. And no freedom can exist without law. One man's freedom is another man's oppression. And so these laws or rules provide freedom from other people's attempted oppression of us. The freedoms of the United States, for instance, were founded upon ancient laws, very ancient laws, I think that most people don't even realize. And these laws had a goal of suppressing oppression between people. One of the founding fathers and a great literary genius of the foundation of this country, Noah Webster, who was the father of public education, once stated, "The Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." So these very ancient laws of the Bible brought freedom, he said. And he continues, "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. And to this we owe our free constitutions of government."
That's an amazing statement, which really brings us to an important question. Is there or are there fundamental changes, say, in the ideas of freedom when you compare today's concepts with those of the founding fathers?
Well, there certainly are. When you go back to what was going on in the 1700s, towards the last part of that century, you had the New World here and the colonies of the British Crown undergoing some oppression, limited rights, and the Continental Congress was formed in 1776 to generate a freedom from an oppressive political system. And the concept that they had at that time can be reflected in the founding fathers, such as James Madison, who said, "Our form of government is totally dependent upon each and every one of us to control ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." And so that was a concept very much in the mind not only of him, but also John Adams, who said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And so you can see right at the heart and core of their thinking is that laws, right laws of relationships from the Bible, were the foundation over which the Constitution of the United States was created. Even our song, you know, America the Beautiful, has the phrase in thy liberty in law, or thy liberty through law. Liberty comes from the law of God.
Well, if the Founding Fathers didn't have those ideas, I mean, obviously the Founding Fathers had a myriad of ideas about religion, and that's not what we're discussing today, but they still believed that there was a morality that was true and real. So where did these new concepts come from?
Well, they came from the Founding Fathers of the social sciences who were, you know, they'd suffered under religious oppression in the 1600s and 1700s, and they had lost any belief in God. Nietzsche, Freud, for instance, Nietzsche declared that God is dead. And that idea actually really caught on, spread rapidly in Europe throughout the first decade of the 20th century. Philosophy, theology, psychology, they all grabbed this idea that God is dead. And for 100 years, we've been moving towards this humanistic viewpoint that total freedom is mankind, declaring his own course. And our society today really is unfettered by any connection to God. Those who believe in God increasingly have a more, well, I'll take what God has to offer, I want the benefits, but I don't want to really be dictated to as to what I must do or how I must live. And so people today really don't feel they have to obey God. He doesn't matter. Man has almost become his own God. Nietzsche wrote a book called Beyond Good and Evil, and the intent of that was to get rid of the Bible and the Bible's definitions of right, wrong, freedom. From there, Sigmund Freud picked up his major ideas. He promoted them, and so on and so forth, down to today.
Well, where then do you see America heading? I mean, if you look at our society and you look at these trends, where are we going?
Well, tell you what, all of this stuff is heading in a direction where immoral freedoms are becoming everyone's right. You know, the Supreme Court recently ruled that even electronic child pornography is not illegal. Freedom of expression, which was supposedly political, has been broadened now to include pornography, filthy speech, violence, any form of the grossest, you know, entertainment or literature, music, depravity, self-expression. There's just no rules. As you know, even the Supreme Court recently ruled that the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional because it contains the words "under God." And the mindset here is that God, Christ, the Ten Commandments, these are illegal topics. And God has become all but illegal in this country.
How can you as an individual experience real freedom? We'll be back right after this message.
Why are we plagued with so many problems? Why do we see so many broken homes, broken marriages, broken relationships? There is a cause for every effect. These problems didn't come from nowhere. They've happened for a reason. The reason, quite simply, is that we aren't following the instructions. We've been given an instruction book, but we've chosen to ignore it. We've tried to do things our own way and brought enormous suffering on ourselves. We have a free 10-point instruction booklet for you. Our Creator has summarized His instructions for us in 10 simple points, the Ten Commandments. We've prepared this booklet, the Ten Commandments, to help you discover what these instructions from our Creator are all about. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're on a telephone hookup from Phoenix, Arizona with Pastor John Elliott discussing freedom, not just the freedom to pursue happiness, but the freedom that can happen only in the mind and heart, in the human spirit. John, Jesus said that his followers have to give up their lives to follow him. He also said that the truth will set you free. Now, how does giving up your freedom to Christ give you freedom?
Well, Christianity means to be Christ-like. And we have to give up our nature. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And he amplified the Ten Commandments, these laws of freedom through his eyes, and showed them on his Sermon on the Mount as the way to live. And it's really through obeying the commandments of God that we become free from an enslavement of harm to others, and relationships that get fractured, and we actually then have better families, better friends, and a greater relationship with God, and we are free from this enslavement to misery.
So real freedom is available, but there is a price for it.
Yes, there is a price for it. The notion that Jesus made us free from law is a lie. It was our sins that were nailed to the tree, not his righteous law. And many have twisted the scripture into a sort of license to trash God's law of liberty. There's nothing wrong with God's law. Rather, the problem was with disobedience, and Jesus needed to die to forgive our disobedience and then give us his Holy Spirit to help us to think like him.
So really, We're talking about a radical concept, even for many Christians, and that freedom is available to Christians who keep biblical laws?
Yes. Actually, that freedom is very, very available, but it is not common to us. Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, verse 22 said the result of God's Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, that's a good form of freedom. That is freedom to be happy and make those around you happy and enjoy the wonderful life that we have available. The problem is God is not that relevant in the lives of most people. They don't think about him. They don't talk to him. They don't listen to him. We get so secularized and enlightened and tapped into this 21st century mentality, and we're all about ourselves. And so the problem here is that we are not willing to put our nature aside and become Christ-like. We want Christ to become like us. There's no future in that, because the mentality of having a God that exists to serve us, to give us what we want, to pander to our carnal nature, actually would just be helping us become more enslaved in selfishness.
I want to go back to something we discussed in the first segment. We had talked about different kinds of freedom. You talked about political freedom and different five different kinds of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about spiritual freedom. Okay. Describe spiritual freedom to us and what you meant by that.
Spiritual freedom is really truth. The Bible defines the Word of God as being truth. This word, in other words, is a way of life. It is a way of serving others. And it presents us with a choice. Do we want to be free from misery, or do we want to be free from happiness? That is really the choice. The choice, personal choice, is really the foundation of all freedoms. Free moral agency. Choice. One choice is to be free from pain, suffering, and anguish. The other choice is freedom from love, joy, peace, and happiness. You choose, God says.
Let me ask you this, maybe just to sum some of these concepts up. What phrase would best describe ideal freedom?
You know, I've thought about that a lot. Ideal freedom. I would say ideal freedom would be summarized in the phrase, one nation, under God, indivisible, with true freedom and justice for all. I mean,
sounds great.
You just can't beat that phrase. It sounds nice, but, you know, it is not possible without the under God part. And I think it's a blessing that that phrase describes the prophesied soon coming millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. And it's going to be filled with freedom and justice for all.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the coming of Christ, and I think a lot of people don't long for his coming because they don't realize just how much bondage we're in. Just quickly, what freedoms will Christ bring with him when he comes back?
Well, the kingdom of God is coming at the hand of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah, the 61st chapter, begins with a prophecy of his return. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." Now, that's freedom from poverty and want, good tidings to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That's freedom from mental anguish. "To proclaim liberty to the captives." That's freedom from all forms of slavery. "And the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Freedom from man-devised laws, political oppression, things like that. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn." There's freedom from grief. "To console all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." There's freedom from illness. The oil of joy for mourning. Freedom from sorrow. "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Freedom from unhappiness. "That they may be called trees of righteousness." Freedom from sin. "The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Freedom from our false father, Satan the devil. So these are some things that are going to be freedoms for everyone when Christ rules.
And that really gives us some real hope in a world that is overwhelming at times. You know, John, thanks for joining us today on Good News Radio.
Oh, you're welcome, Gary. I appreciate you being here.
You can begin to learn more about the truth that shall set you free by ordering the booklet offered on today's program, The Ten Commandments. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Did God give us the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Commandments? It's a crucial question. Never has our world had such a critical need for moral guidance and direction. Plenty of people think of these ten principles as good suggestions, but how many people view these commands for what they are, our Creator's blueprint for a peaceful and prosperous society? They're designed to protect us, our families, and our communities. They're a guide to transform the way we think, what we do, and how we live our lives. For your free copy of this 80-page booklet, call 1-800-966-9232. Discover why they're the Ten Commandments and not just the Ten Suggestions. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.